welcome to this podcast message from Kingdom Faith.
3 weeks ago, we started in Latvia, did several crosswalks and preaching. It was great. Then we moved down into Poland, preached across Poland from the north all the way down to the south, and had a real good time in Warsaw. About 2 years ago, I was doing a crosswalk in Warsaw, which we do several times, and preaching on the streets. There was a man and his wife with us from another church, a relating church. And I think something in the preaching on the streets did something in him. And I really believe that sometimes God will use us to spur evangelistic ideas into other people. And not that we're there to control or try to establish something other than releasing in the realm of the Spirit things that need to be done. And so he established a what they call Wednesday night street church, where they preach, they give out food, and they do worship every Wednesday night. And that's been going on for the last like year and a half. And now they have like 7, 8, 9 churches in Warsaw that come together for it. And I take no credit for that other than I went into that place and started to preach the gospel on those streets, very bold, very loud, and declaring, well, John 3:16. Some people don't like that. Some people don't like street preaching. But that's what this nation's about. Its history is bedrocked into street preaching. And I think we picked up something in this nation, and I say that a lot, about street preaching. And so they've been going for like a year and a half. He said, Eric, it's never rained on us. It rains before, it rains after, but never on us. I said, that sounds like it's God. So we were there preaching on the streets and crowds of people listening to the gospel. I thought that was a great highlight. And then ended in Prague Sunday morning. Drove to Nuremberg to the UK, and then got to the UK, and I tell you what, I love this nation, but something in this nation, when I reach the border, just doesn't like me. And the questions that they asked me didn't even make sense. But for an hour after I left the border, that spirit was speaking to me, screaming, why are you back here? I said, well, I'm a seed sower. And that's where the gospel is. The kingdom is in seed. And so I want to talk to you about light this morning. Because light is a real substance that we're called to carry. And we're called to release light. I don't think it was poetic when the Lord talked about light to the church. You know, we lack, you know, kind of poetic. But Heavenly Father, thank you for this time of being here. Lord, we love this place. And I know that this place is bigger than they realize. And the effect of things that you do beyond what they understand. I thank you for the faithfulness of this place. That by being in the place that you've called them to be, you're able to do things that they don't even know. And only into eternities will you show them. And I thank you for it. Father, bless this time. Shihalabakaya. Father, I'm asking that this word will lift us all. And give us something to walk out of here with, to understand the days that we live in. Halabashikaya. Father, in order to change this world, in Jesus' name, amen. Let's look at a scripture, 1 John 1, verse 5. You don't mind, I'm going to read out of the Bible. Sure like the Bible. 1 John 1 and verse 5. I keep waiting for a translator. John, will you get up and translate for me? This is the message which we've heard of him. And declare it unto you that God is light. In him there is no darkness. So God is love, but God is light also. He is light. In him there is no darkness. Let's turn over to Ephesians 5 verse 8. So God is light. Say God is light. Ephesians 5 and verse 8. Ephesians, it's after Matthew. Page 1017 in my Bible. For you were one time darkness, but now, say now. Yeah. Now say now like you believe it. Yeah. Now! There you go. Listen, I've been traveling 3,500 kilometers. If I can stand up here, come on. Give me a little bit of help. But now are you light in the Lord? Walk as children of light. Now, sometimes as we read this, we think, you know, walk as children of light and do good, do what is right. And I believe that that's what that means. But I want to maybe give you a different flavor. Walk in that light, carry that light, and release that light as a child of that light. God is light, and you are now light in the Lord. I was, there's a certain McDonald's in Riga that I go to, and they have really good cappuccinos. And then I'll call my wife because I got free Wi-Fi. And I'll call her, and she'll say, "You're sitting there having a cappuccino, aren't you?" I say, "Yeah." But I got to know the guy who was the worker. It's a McCafe. And one day I came in there to get my cappuccino. He said, "Why are you different? You look so positive." I said, "Oh, I said I'm a Christian, and I know Jesus, and He changed my life." I said, "I know what it was like before, and I know what it's like now," and it just opened the whole door. What did he see? He saw light. It was different than his other customers, that when I walked up there to say, "Hey, I want a cappuccino. Give me the big one." It was more than a normal customer. It was something different that caused him to react. I think that's what happened at the border yesterday. Now let's take a look at the power of this light. Acts 9, verse 3. Let's take a look at it. Acts 9 and verse 3. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus. Suddenly, say suddenly, there shined around about him, what? A light from heaven. So there is a substance in heaven that shines upon the earth. Now what happens? Verse 4. And he fell to the earth. This light isn't like light from our sun. It is a force and a power that comes out of heaven. In this case, Saul got the full force of it and knocked him off his horse and changed his life. But that's the power of the light that you're in. God is light, and you and me, we are what? Light in the Lord. We are carriers of this substance. When I walked up to that McCafe, he didn't get knocked to the ground, but he noticed something. "Why are you so positive? Why? What is it with you? Why are you different?" Let's look at Matthew 28 and verse 3. Many times when we're walking with the cross, people will say, why is it so joyful around you? Why is it so joyful? Well, joy comes from what? Light. People like, see, tomorrow I'm flying to Florida and there's blue skies and light. And as soon as I land in Orlando, I'll go, oh. And I'll be there with a lot of your countrymen. They say, why do you like Orlando? Because I feel connected to England. Verse 2, 28, let's start with 2. And there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven. Where did he come from? Heaven. He came and rolled back the stone from the door. He sat upon it. His countenance was like what? Lightning. Like what? Lightning? You ever seen lightning? Wow, it's pretty bright. That's what he looked like. Now, let me tell you something. He's a created being. He wasn't created with his own light. He stands there. The Bible says that your angel beholds the face of the Father. Now, if he looks like lightning because he's been beholding the face of God, and he comes down and he starts to look at people, ooh, what happens? It said, for fear of him, the keepers did shake. And what happened? They fell down. They became as dead men. Now, what was it? They were just afraid? I don't believe that they were just afraid and they did that. They would have run if they were afraid. The power of that light upon that minister of God came down and was released, and literally they were afraid, but it knocked them down. God is light, and you are light in the Lord. Acts 6:15. See, you know, when we read in the Old Testament, Moses went up on the mount to receive the Ten Commandments, and he was looking at the shoulders of God. He didn't see the face of God, but he got to see the shoulder blade of God. And when he came down the mountain, they were afraid of him because he looked like a bright light. That was just the shoulders of God. And he was not even born again. He was a receiver outwardly. Now, you and I are born again. We have that light inwardly. That's why Paul said we're afflicted, we're not distraught, we're cast down, and you know the story, but it says what? We've got an exceeding great treasure in us. What? That light of the glory of the face of Christ. It's in you. It is a substance of heaven. God is light. You are light in the Lord. This is not a poetic thing. This is a substance of heaven. Acts 6:15. Is this okay this morning? Should we stop and go get a cappuccino? And say, why are you so different? Steve, that's talking about Stephen. And they that sat in the council, looking steadfastly on him. Their mind was full of the argument of their religion, but their eyes were perplexed at what they saw. Steadfastly looking at him. Why? Well, let's see why. Oh, his face was like the face of an angel. Well, we know why. Because before they stoned him, he was looking at the Lord. And that light was shining on him. and shining out of him. Whew. Now let's look at this. Go with me to 2 Corinthians 4:6. 2 Corinthians 4:6. You know, on this trip, like normal, we had many opportunities for bad weather. As soon as we got ready for the outreaches, we had weather changes. Light came. Sun shone. Nice. And they had some real bad weather when we landed. They said, "Eric, you brought Florida in your suitcase." Good. It's better than Mickey Mouse. Let's start with 4. In whom the God of this world has blinded the minds of those who believe not. Why? Lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. We preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded, say commanded. That's not a suggestion. He didn't suggest. Oh, let's see, maybe light. He didn't do that. He knew what he was doing. He spoke it, light. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of the darkness. Now, you have to understand, in the beginning, there was no sun, moon, and stars when God created the process. The Bible says the earth was what? Dark. Waters covered the face of the deep. In the Hebrew, there was confusion and chaos, which God never creates confusion and chaos. He brings divine order. So when you look at what really happened in creation, the first thing God did, he manifested his glory and let it shine out of the earth. It wasn't light shining upon the earth. Well, let's read it again. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of the darkness. That means he went into the very core and said, we're not just going to shine on it. We're going to get in there and shine out and start this creative process. Now, that's what he did with you. Yeah, there was light shining on you, but there was a point where he spoke, and it was your time to be saved. And you, by faith, reached out, and when you did, it exploded in you and began to shine out. What? Instantly, a love for God. You didn't see him. You loved him. And you rejoiced with joy exceeding and full of glory. Why? Because of what he spoke. I tell the people I work with, I said, don't for a minute go out there and think you're going to save anybody. You're not that voice. See, people don't. A lot of people in evangelism don't like it if I say that, because we got to go out there and get numbers. You know, we got to go out there and see if we can get 20 people who made decisions and prayed with us while we're out there, and then that's good. Well, I'm for that. I have no problem with that. But I don't know, when it comes to salvation, I don't think I can make you say a quick prayer, because there's nothing in the Bible that says you're saved by a prayer. You're saved by faith. And so I can go out there, and I do. I release my faith. I release light. I release the authority. And I release seed. I'm doing my part. But it's the Holy Spirit who gets into the inner counsels of men and begins to work. That's why many times as I go across Europe, pastors come to me. Brother Eric, do you know how I got saved? No, I don't. I don't know how you got saved. It says someone gave me a tract. I don't even know who the person was. I read the tract. The Holy Spirit came on me, and I knew this was right. And I prayed. And now I'm a pastor. That's how my wife was saved. Same way. So let's not try, you know, sometimes we know better than the Lord. Actually, we need to know what we're to do and do it faithfully. And trust him that he's pretty good at saving people. Look at you, you're saved. He's pretty merciful too. Thank you, Lord. I didn't deserve it. But you love me. In Warsaw, first time I got up to preach, after I got done, and it was a place where three metro lines release out to the major train station. So you can touch the whole nation, really, from that place. And I got up, I was preaching. And after I got done, they said, "Oh, Brother Eddie, come. There's a Muslim man, he speaks English, and he wants to give his life to Christ." So I went over there, and he heard the preaching. He says, "I'm from Bangladesh. I've been here for like 7 months." He said, I grew up in a Muslim family. But watch this. He said, "But I always knew something about Christianity was right." I thought, wow. Now, my preaching maybe helped the Holy Spirit really get him, but God had already been speaking. Now, in Genesis, the Lord said, he said, "My spirit will not always strive with men." God's spirit speaks to all men. And when you stand before him, or when other people stand before him who didn't receive, they'll know, that was the voice that kept speaking to me. So let's not make, you know, we got to be careful here. Because God is a speaking spirit. He speaks to men. And that guy from Bangladesh, he said, I knew there was always something with Christianity that was right. It's like in the Old Testament, the prophets, they would let all the false prophets speak. You know, rah, rah, re, go do it. You know, God is with you. And then they go, "I want a real prophet," because they knew. They knew the difference between true and false. Deep down. Let's look at this. So he shines, what, into our hearts to give us the light of the glory of God, what, in the face of Jesus. So you haven't seen Jesus, but you've seen him. That's why you love him. Have you ever seen Jesus? People say, "Have you ever seen God?" Yeah, sure I have. The Bible says I have. What does he look like? He doesn't look like the pictures. He's really bright. But they don't understand. They don't understand that you have seen the light that comes from his face. You know, many times people say, "I'm an atheist." I say, "Look at me. I'm not." I said, "Look in my eyes. There's something in my eyes that's not what you have." So now you got to explain why you empty and I've got something and there is no God. There's a guy, he was up in North Poland. He said, "I'm an atheist, but I enjoy talking with you." I said, "Well, it's because you're not totally an atheist. Something in your heart is still not believing your head." And I said, you know, the rock and roll you're listening to and the drugs and everything else you're doing is really producing a harvest around you that you can't see out of. I said, "I grew up in Ohio. We got 3-meter corn." I said, "When you go out there in the field before you plant it, you know where everything is. You can walk in the field, walk out." I said, "Once that tassels and it's 3 meters high," I said, "your friend blindfold you and take you out there and spin you around, you don't know where you are." And I said, "That's your problem. You're taking dope, you're doing all kinds of garbage, and you're planting seeds, and now your corn is so high, you say, 'I don't believe in God.' Because your harvest has talked to you and said, 'There is no God,' because your life has been godless. And God, when you stand before him, he's going to say, I'm not fooled. Don't mock me. What you sow is what you reap. And this is where you're going to go. I established these laws. He spoke good English. I didn't have to have a translator on that one. That was God. Because he was with a whole group of these really, I mean, they're half drunk, wild. So my Polish friends had the group, and they were crazy, argumentative. It was like a hive of bees around them. And then I'm over here quietly talking to this man. And they're like, Brother Eric, that was terrible. I said, it looked like a hive of bees around you. I said, what you did is you protected me from that group so I could talk to this guy. I said, Brother Eric, we were exhausted after that. I said, I feel good. Thank you. That's called teamwork. You have the demons. I'll get this guy. Did they have demons, Brother Eric? Oh, yeah, they had demons. Matthew 5. I want you to think about light as you go out, as you maybe ride the train, ride the bus. I want you to think about light. Think about light. God is light, and you are light in the Lord. You're not just some weak worm. You've got something in you. I walked to Gatwick. I was going to get a plane once. I walked up there. I had to try to change my ticket. And a lady looked at me. She said, are you someone famous? I said, famous? It depends. The devil knows me. Let's look at 5 and 14. Now here it is. This is Jesus talking. Okay? You know, listen, it's not normal Christianity. You know, Christianity has been the old church building, walk in, come under some silent mantle, some cloud that comes down on you. And what it does is it causes your light to come under a bushel. It's called religion. Man's way of doing it. I was my last preaching on the streets, just preaching. Jesus didn't die to establish religion. I was in Poland. He died to save. He died to have a personal relationship with you. Not religion. Religion will not save you. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Now, I just got back from Bhutan about a month ago. We had dynamic times there. Something's happening in that nation. But one thing is, when you come out with those Himalayan mountains all over, you can see at night any light that's in the mountain. Okay? So you walk out. You're in the valley. This is what happens, okay? You walk out. It's nighttime. And then your eyes automatically what? It doesn't go to the dark place of the mountain. It goes to the light. Doesn't it? Your eyes focus down on the little dot. And then you wonder what's up there? Don't you? Okay? Now that's what he's talking about. He's saying in our lives, the people in darkness look up. Now, in the Bible, this principle of up is a very, I don't know if it's Hebrew or if it's a God principle. When the man was in hell, he lifted up his eyes. Okay? You got me? You know the story? Hell's a real place. People say, oh, I don't believe in hell. Can you prove hell? I said, well, Jesus talked about it. I said, well, that doesn't mean anything. I said, well, let me tell you what he said. He said, it's in the center of the earth and it's real hot. I said, 2,000 years later, scientists say, in the center of the earth, it's real hot. I said, how did Jesus know that? Was he a scientist? Was he doing experiments? No. He's the first one who said, there's a place in the center of the earth that people go there. You get sucked right down into the darkness. And it's hot. And scientists tell you, in the center of the earth, it's hot. So I said, you want to risk it? Risk it if you want. But Jesus, he didn't play games. So when you are with the world, you see, you're so used to yourself. You know your insecurities. You know your fears. You know your strengths and your weaknesses. You just know yourself. And so when you're out in public, you kind of forget about everybody else because you're thinking about you. Amen? You're in your world. I do it, and I know you do it. We're human. But lost people, when we're walking with the Lord, they look up in their spirit because of the substance of the light. So the Lord says, don't hide your candle under a bushel. Don't hide it under the things of this world. Sorry. Now watch this, verse 15. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it gives light to everyone that's in the house. So let your light shine. So let your what? So let this substance shine. Let this substance out. Let this substance out. That they may see your good works and glorify your Father. Now, what this verse is saying is that you and I would never light a candle and then hide it, would we? First of all, you'd burn the couch out. Whatever you put it under, you're going to burn it down, right? But we wouldn't do that, would we? And it's saying God doesn't do the same thing. God does not light the church and then say, let's go hide it. He puts it right out there so that all can see it. And that's the place of confrontation. Light brings confrontation. It doesn't matter. You want to walk in light, there's got to be confrontation because you live in a dark world. We live in a dark world. Sometimes, you know, we don't like that confrontation. We don't like the backlash that comes. The Bible is full of backlash. It was there. The disciples, they would do this, and then the devil would do this. They would do this, and the devil would be coming this way. But they never back down. Now, let's take a look at one more scripture, and then this is kind of, I'm just laying the foundation for what I wanted to speak on. Isaiah 60. Say, spirit of faith. It says, arise and shine. That's verse 1. That means get up from where you are. A lot of times you go into churches and people, they're sitting there like this. And you just, you look at them and it's like, I know you're saved, but you don't know you're saved. Why? Because inside of them, they have not risen up to live this life. So the first thing he says is, get up, arise. And that's where the spirit of faith comes. We having the same, what? Spirit of faith. A pastor said to me, We got out, we were in a meeting. He said, I'm really concerned because there's a whole lot he called it prophecy. I didn't know exactly what he meant. Prophecy movement coming in here, and everybody wants to hear prophecy and this, that, and the other. But he says, you come in and you don't advertise that you're prophecy, and you know, they just think you're evangelist, but all of a sudden you start in that prophetic flow. I said, well, first of all, it's because it's the spirit of faith. I don't have to advertise these other things. We come with a spirit of faith. And as we're walking in that faith, we're able to follow the Holy Ghost. If he wants to prophesy a little bit, we prophesy. If he wants to do this, then we do this. We're able to follow him. Really, that's what we're called to do. I think sometimes if we mold ourselves as we're a prophetic movement, okay, I think people come to hear prophecy, and then it begins to pull on us not to follow the Holy Ghost, but to give them what they want. And then it doesn't really bear fruit. And that's what Jesus wants. He wants to bear fruit, okay? Everybody likes prophecy. It's great, isn't it? Except the ones that judgment, but, you know. It's a spirit of faith. That's where we walk. So he says, arise, and then he says, break through, shine. It's not a suggestion. Today, shine. Your light has come. Not going to come, it has come. This substance from heaven, it is, Shekiah, inside of you. Gideon got out there. Nothing changed until the 300 men raised up their pods and broke them. Then the light shone out and confusion hit the enemy's camp. I'm hearing the Holy Ghost speak to me and speak to you. Be stronger in the light. More boldness in the light. Trust the light. The darkness cannot overcome that light. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness does not overcome it. But you and I must decide to stand stronger. And guess who has to back down? The devil. I was in Nuremberg in a cafe yesterday, and this Chinese lady, nice lady, I walked in, and she kind of was walking around, and she's an older lady, and we're getting ready to leave, but she sits behind us, and I can feel like this spear in the spirit going right through me. It's like an oppression. I sat there. I said, in the name of Jesus, right now, you oppression on her, I command you, you go now. You leave her. And then like 2 seconds, she's gone. And she got back up and she walked over to the counter to order and she was smiling. Why? Light. Light. Now, I'm not talking about demon consciousness. That's crazy. We're light conscience. Light. Light. Light's so much better than darkness anyways. Isn't it? It's joyful. It's happy. It's wonderful. The Bible never said be darkness minded. In fact, the Lord spoke to me. He said, I'll be honest with you. I'm glad I've been home for these years that I'm home, because I see what's happening in my nation. And I am deeply troubled over Europe and over my nation. America is a European nation, okay? You don't think about that, but in the ways of God, it's a European nation. It's a Japheth nation. And I tell you, I get so angry and so, but the Lord spoke to me. He said, these are days of great light. Stop looking at darkness. Stop looking at the darkness and speak light. And this is the ending. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and what? Gross darkness. What kind of darkness? Gross darkness. It's the same kind of darkness that was in Genesis chapter 1, verse 2. Gross darkness covered the earth. Okay? But the Lord shall arise on you, and his glory shall be seen upon you. Gentiles shall come to what? Your light. Your light. That's not poetic. It's a substance that changes Gentiles. Mark chapter 4. So no one can accuse me of not preaching the Bible today. It's always discouraging to me when I walk in to do a meeting and no one has their Bibles. I'm thinking, this is going to go nowhere. Because you don't respect the Word. And it says this, verse 3, hearken, there went out a sower to sow. There went out a sower to sow. He had a purpose. 14, the sower sows what? The Word of God. The entrance of His Word brings what? Hey, y'all know your Bibles. I wasn't sure myself. It was a trick. I needed to get the end of that. So it is light. I was like, it was in Prague, and these Ranger fans were there. They were drunk, and they saw me with the cross, and they came over and said, are you Catholic? Are you Protestant? Or something like that. And I was like, which one are you? Because they wanted to fight me. I think if I said one that was wrong, they were going to hit me. So, which one are you? And I'm the same one. If you're Catholic, I'm Catholic. The sower sows the Word of God. Now, what do we sow the Word into? The soil. Into the darkness. And let me just say this as I close. I want you to see yourself as sowing light. And some people say, well, finances are seed. Spending your time working is seed. And I don't believe that finances are seed, okay? I don't believe that time is seed. I believe that the Bible says, the sower sows the Word. The Word is the seed. Now, when you have revelation, which is light, entrance of His Word, it brings light, and faith in that Word, then you mix it to the natural. Okay? Then, I believe finances become seed. Not just finances, but my wife and I, when we pay tithes and offerings, what do? We wrap the finances in what God said, in our revelation of it. Now, as soon as I do that, I'm not bringing my offering to church and to men. I'm bringing it to the altar of God. And I am releasing my seed and my obedience and my worship in the realm of light and in faith. Now I know that as I release, the kingdom shall be released to me. And I have confidence in that. Now a lot of people just, when it comes to offering, they just, Mabel, what should we give today? Oh, I got a coin for that. And they drop it in, and they don't think anything of it. And you know what? They're living so far below where God brought them up, where they could be, in this realm of giving and seed. When I go out on the streets with the cross and with seed, I'm not giving paper. I'm taking
the scriptures, the word of God is in there, but I'm also applying faith to it and revelation in the calling he gave me, and I'm releasing light into darkness. So when I walk into nations, I know, England, you cannot close your doors to me because I have a legal right in these fields. These are my fields because this is the Lord's harvest. I don't sound like someone from here, but in the realm of the Spirit, I have multiplied hundreds of thousands of seed light into the soil of this nation. Speaking to these people, the same in Czech, the same in Poland, the same in parts of Germany, the same in Lithuania, same in Latvia. Why? It's in the realm of light. It's in the realm of the Spirit. So my encouragement, you can stand up, and I thank you so much for Clive, thanks for letting me come today and spit on you a little bit and sneeze on you. And I've been 3 weeks without my family. I'm a little bit fried, but you put up with me. But this is what I want to say to you. We have to be sowers of light.
That's it. Very good.
It's a substance from heaven, and it's in you to the degree you arise and shine.
Come on. Right.
And there is gross darkness. The Bible says there is. Now, the Lord spoke to me, so, and I speak to you, don't look at it. These are days of great light, but I believe he that sows light, light will be sowed back to them. Well, that's what the Lord said. He said he would sow light back into you. Amen. Amen. Righteousness. Why don't you raise your hands? Let me pray for you, and I'll give it back over to Pastor. Father, I've done the best I can do on this, but I know that you're speaking because your word speaks. Holy Spirit, Father, thank you right there. Thank you for your touch, your love, ministering to these here. And Father, there are some that they haven't risen up. They're saved. Show them the doors open. They don't have to stay where they are. Lord, just like that angel that came into that prison cell, Peter was in there, and the first thing that happened, light came in there. And then doors began to open. Father, bless these here. And Lord, I'm asking that God today, as they go out, that they would witness to somebody and share that light, that they would literally sense that light of your glory going out of them right in. And know that salvation is your work. Preaching, faith, love is our work. Believing for people to be saved. And knowing that, God, as we're releasing faith into the soil, as we're releasing light, Iba sukunde ilachane ishi krondosu kumbunkai. Ilangro and di alamange edisi elashtungo abangade. Ishi aso kondo. Yes, the walk of light in my spirit is an easy walk, says the Lord. For those that are living in darkness, for their way is hard. But as you rise up and walk in light, as you speak the light, as you clothe yourself in light, and as you follow me in light, you will find that that way actually is the easy way. It's the way of my spirit, the way of my presence. It is the way of my yoke. So rise up and clothe yourself. Clothe your eyes with light. Clothe your ears with light. And clothe your words with light. Yeah? Before you speak those words, give them the light test. Because I test them with my light. And you can test them with your light. And as you do, you'll change the things you say. And as you change the things you say, things in your life will begin to change. Because light will begin to make a way where there was no way. It will show you where the steps that you need to take should go. Yes. Not always should you say, "Oh Lord, for major decisions, I need your help." But even for the minor things around as you go in your life. For I'm not just with you as pertaining to my calling and will for your life as you see it, but I'm also with you as pertaining to the things in your life. Going to the store, shopping, things that concern day-to-day living, that I'm a part of that. And my light is a part of that. Because my light is my love, and I've clothed you in love, and I've clothed you in light, says the Lord. Amen. Amen. Lord, we love you, and we give you praise. Father, we thank you that your light is shining. Father, we ask for souls, and we thank you for souls today. Open doors in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com.